He comes to share this morning.
Thank you, Jared. I'd like you to stand to your feet one more time. And Diane, would you come? Would you come, please? Just stand right here, if you would, please. You're safe. You're safe. You know, when you move into a new place, you probably need some stuff to outfit it. And so I'm going to pray in a moment, and I'm going to ask you to bless our sister as she moves into a new place. And just do whatever God tells you to do. And this will be the most memorable Christmas she's had in a while. She's already thanking God that God's given her a great breakthrough in housing. And we just want to bless her today. So let's pray right now. Father, thank you that we hear from you, we obey you, and Lord, we sow today into our sister that the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow comes in another wave upon her life. In Jesus' name, amen. So just come and bring your offering and stay right there. God bless you. You may be seated.
I'm using.
She said thank you. You may be seated. Nothing like being loved, isn't it? All right, open your Bibles this morning as the stewards pass out the notes for your message today. Maybe they already have. They have. Good. Father, thank you today that as we hear your word, you speak to us. Each one of us receives a rhema from you today. We hear the voice within the voice that speaks personally and powerfully to our own life and circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, open your Bibles with me to Joshua, the third chapter. As we kind of count down the last few days of 2018, you might ask yourself, Pastor, this is your 10th message on transition. Why so many messages on this subject? One, because I believe this is perhaps one of the most significant transitions this congregation has ever made, that we're in the process of making. I believe that many of us here are in transition of one sort or another. And I want us all to capture what God is attempting to do in our lives. You can pass through the days so quickly. I'm at least 50 years old. Why are you laughing? And these 50 years have just flown by. They have absolutely flown by. And I realize more than ever that the days pass by, and if you're not careful, you can just try to get through the days. And the assignment that God has for your life can be left aside. And, you know, when I see Jesus face to face, I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to say, like Paul, "I finished my course." Well, if your life has a course, you got to discern what that course is. And if you discern that what that course is, then you have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill it. Otherwise, you can have a lot of accolades and processing and education and so on and so forth. But you'll, at the end of your days, you have to say, "What was my life really all about? I did basically the same things that most other people do. What did it all add up to?" And so it's so important for us to examine what is happening in our life so that we can cooperate with the one we worship, with the King, with the Master, the one who's the architect of our entire journey. And so that's why 10 messages. You know, somebody might say to you, "Pastor, could you define for me the Christian life?" I would say, if I could define the Christian life in one word, it would be the word supernatural. It'd be the word supernatural. You know, you think about it, you're only here because you had a supernatural experience. You had a supernatural encounter with the grace of God. It was a miracle that brought you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. You started your journey with something that isn't natural, it's supernatural. The world doesn't even understand it. They have no ability to grasp it. But that's how you started your Christian life, was supernatural. And you finish your life supernaturally. You will pass from this life and then, as the Bible says, in an instant, you'll be with the Lord forever. So between these two poles, the beginning, your salvation, and the end, your resurrection, is not meant to be supernatural and then human and then supernatural again. No, it's supposed to be supernatural from beginning to end. And so it's vital for us to recognize those as we go through our journey, that God has designed us to face certain circumstances and conditions so they work in our inner life to produce that which can only be supernatural. And if we don't grasp that, then we just try to live naturally and just think things through and analyze and figure it out and struggle and just be, as you know that song says, "I'm only human." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Thank God you're not only human." If you were just human, we might tire of you. A woman evangelist was commanded by the Lord to go to a South Sea island. And she went there and was preaching the gospel and healing the sick. And she had a long healing line, and people came and she was healing them. And she came to this one woman, and the Holy Spirit said something rather strange to her. I want you to get this, because it has to do with your transition, my transition, and this congregation's transition. The Holy Spirit said something rather strange to her. He said to her, "Tell this woman to stick out her tongue." And so he said to this woman, it's kind of an odd thing today, you're healing people, and you come up to one, and instead of putting your hand on her, you say, "Stick out your tongue." So she said to the woman, "Stick out your tongue." And the woman didn't do it. So she got a little irritated. Why couldn't this woman just follow a simple little instruction. And so the second time, she raised her voice a little bit. She said, I said, stick out your tongue. And the woman did. And everybody around her was totally shocked because they knew that woman had no tongue. She was born without a tongue. What's the essence of the story? The essence of the story is that God had prepared, he had pre-prepared, I'm going to come back to that word, a miracle for this woman. And God put it in the heart of the evangelist to give her that word without any full knowledge of what was going on. So there had to be some faith obedience in order for this thing to take place. The first time she said, stick out your tongue, the woman didn't. But apparently the second time she said it, she didn't hear the evangelist. She heard God. And as soon as that momentary connection took place between her and heaven, and she made the decision to do what she could not do, she had what she didn't have. God has prepared miracles for us all along the journey, but oftentimes, if we're just living naturally, we move right past them. We move right past them. The last days on this planet, according to the Bible I read, is going to be characterized by signs, wonders, and miracles of both sorts. Those wrought by the devil and those wrought by God. If you're not taken in by one, you'll be taken in by the other. So if you want to have a sharp discernment, live connecting with the one you want to connect with. That's what the story here is about. A supernatural life. In this transition, you know, God had already determined, he had pre-planned Israel to inherit the land of Canaan. And yet he gave them a process, he gave them certain steps that required them to exercise faith. You know, oftentimes you can just kind of sit back and wait for a miracle. If you've had a condition that lasted any length of time or something that plagued you, you can just kind of sit back and say, well, you know, I've done this, that, and the other, and nothing's worked, and that hasn't worked, this hasn't worked, and so on and so forth. And so you just, okay, well, I'll just wait. I'll just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. When actually, the way out of your struggle is something so simple and so profound. It is simply hearing from the Lord and obeying him. Because when you obey him, you are believing him. So a few years back, Angela, my daughter, and I were in Germany, and there was a lot of wonderful miracles taking place. And one woman came and got healed, but I didn't know the backstory. And we heard the backstory of how this woman got healed. She had been told by the doctor she had an incurable disease and wasn't going to live very long. So, like anybody who's thought their life was going to end, she got on her knees and she cried out to the Lord. And at some point, she stopped crying and started listening. Sometimes you have to stop crying and listen. It feels good to cry when you have a reason to cry. God made us that way. It's kind of an emotional relief. But emotional relief isn't the same thing as a miracle, is it? She stopped crying and she listened. And she listened. And she listened. And finally, God spoke to her. And he said something that I thought at the time when I heard the story was rather strange. He said, I'm going to heal you on Sunday. I'm going to heal you on Sunday. Which, you know, you and I might think, well, okay, why didn't God say I'm going to heal you now? Or, you know, but, you know, God has his own ways. It's kind of like the story of Naaman in the Bible. He goes to get healed, and the prophet says, go get in the dirtiest river. So God has his ways. Anyway, he told this woman she was going to be healed. Well, she was so overjoyed that she was going to live and not die, that she was going to be healed. She thought, what can I do to celebrate what God is going to do? Because I just believe I want to honor him for this promise. I want to honor him for this promise. So she said, I know what, I'll wear my best to the Sunday service because I want to be the best I can before him. And as I present myself before him, I want to say to him that he's worthy of everything. I don't have much money. My husband's passed away. But I am going to be healed on Sunday. So she looked through her wardrobe. She didn't think much of anything that she had. But she found her wedding dress. She hadn't worn her wedding dress, obviously, since the day of her wedding. Her husband was passed away. But she thought, oh, this is so fitting. I'm going to wear my wedding dress to the service. And so that's what she did. She decided, because God was going to heal her, she wanted to be her absolute best. It didn't really matter to her what anybody thought when she came through the door wearing a wedding dress and there was no wedding on. As far as she was concerned, she was going to see her bridegroom. I didn't know this. But a word came in that meeting that there was a woman there whom God had spoken to that she was going to be healed that day. And that she should come forward. She ran to the front in her wedding dress. By the time she got to the front, she was healed. What am I saying? You can't many times figure out a way out of something that is humanly impossible. But God has a plan to take you where you could not go in human strength. And God says, all this is part of my training you to live on the planet and reveal me. You know, I can't imagine what that woman was capable of saying to her relatives who all knew she was going to die. Or her neighbors who perhaps knew she was going to die. What a testimony. What a testimony. In Joshua chapter 3, as God's people prepared to go across the Jordan, as you know, they had the wilderness on one side, and as we showed you pictures last Sunday, and then the Jordan River, and then the Promised Land, this was their scenario. They were to leave the wilderness finally, cross the Jordan, and go into the Promised Land. Let's pick up the story. In Joshua 3, says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out, and they went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. And 3 days the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. So really what he's saying here in New Testament terms is walk in the Spirit. The Christian life is a journey in the Spirit, not in the head. That's what he said. Move out from your position and follow and follow. Who are you following? Who are you following? When you arise in the morning, are you saying, Lord, lead me today? Direct my steps. When you're headed for some appointment, you say, Lord, direct me. In my work today, Lord, direct me. He says, then you'll know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. That's true. You haven't been this way before. You haven't been in this day before. You haven't been in tomorrow yet. So if you're following somebody who knows the way, who's already there, you're in good shape. You'll know which way to go since you've never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. And we drew your attention to perhaps why God said this and reminded them of it again later, was that he was wanting them to have a respect for the presence of God. A respect for the presence of God. And if you look there in your notes, I gave you 7 ways in which you could evidence. These are not all of them, but 7 ways on page 8 in your notes. They're respecting the presence of God. If you have a respect for the presence of God, you're a worshiper. You pray, you speak in tongues, you obey, you believe, you use your faith. You protect the abiding of his presence, and you cooperate with him. Those are ways in which you respect the presence of God. And, you know, it's not just in a service. If you come in late, you don't go over and hug people and start talking to them because you respect the presence. They're in worship, or they should be. You respect the presence. You say, oh, no, this is the time where we're focused on him. It's a simple little thing. It was all part of respecting, valuing, esteeming highly the presence of the Lord. And you know, the Bible says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit and he goes. Bye. Bye. So respecting the presence, God says right here in the Old Testament, is very important. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. He prophesied to them. You know, they'd been in there, out there in the wilderness. He said, tomorrow God's going to do amazing things for you. And he said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. You know, if I could define the Christian life and Christian leadership, it would be in this verse. Take up the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, the Word of God, and covenantal provision, and pass on. That's the Christian life. Pass on ahead of the people. That's Christian leadership. Many people want to be leaders, but they haven't grasped. If you're going to be a leader, you have to get a hold of the Ark of God's presence yourself. You have to get a hold of the Word of God, which was in the Ark, and you have to partake of the benefits, the provisions of the covenant. You can only give away what you have. That's leadership. And the Bible says, so they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I'll exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so they may know that I'm with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge, everybody say, reach the edge. Have you ever felt like you were near the edge? It says, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. And that's what we're going to do in our time of prayer and fasting from the 7th of January. We're going to stand in the river. So important for us in this time of transition. And Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you'll know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Now that's kind of an interesting statement. They've been in the wilderness. They're going to cross the Red Sea. He's given them some instructions about how they're to cross the Red Sea. And he says this. He says, I'm going to prophesy to you that because of what God does here with crossing the Jordan, rather, crossing the Jordan, you can take it for granted that all of the ites that you face on the other side, he'll give you the victory for it. So what does that really mean? It means that access assumes possession inheritance. Let me break that down for you. God says, that land over there, that's Canaan. That's yours. That's yours. You can't get there without me. But I am going to take you there. And the fact that I take you across the Jordan is proof that everything you face on the other side, I've already given you victory over it. That's what he says. He'll certainly drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, yes. The Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Well, Pastor, what is that? I'm glad you asked that. Because the last Sunday of this year, I'm going to prophesy to you about those seven nations. Because it's those seven nations that God is going to give you victory over in 2019. Amen. So I don't think you want to miss next Sunday. Because God has planned to give you victory. And that's this whole principle. God says, because I show you miraculously, I give you access into the land. It's not like I gave you access into the land and say, okay, fine, you're on your own now. I've already prepared victory over everything that you face. Did you get that? Everything that you face since you were born again, God says, I've already prepared victory in advance for it. Victory in advance. So you, in your mind's eye right now, park the ark right next to whatever it is you're facing. Sickness, disease, trouble, mortgage, whatever it is. Park the ark there. God says, I got that covered. I got that covered. You see, there were seven nations. That's perfect opposition. God says, I'm greater than perfect opposition. I've already given you the victory. This is before they even cross. Joshua says, the fact that I get you across this miraculous way is the proof that everything you face on the other side, I'm driving them out. I'm driving them out. You have victory. You have victory. So I want you to agree with God today. No matter how you feel, how you came into this service today, whatever circumstances might be going on, swirling around in your head, I want you to align yourself with the Word of God today in your words, because your words are an expression of your heart. I want you to say to every demon, to every circumstance, to all disease, God has given me the victory. Now, some of you said that like you believed it. All right, let's say it again. God has given me the victory. Is that right, Diane? God has given me the victory. So, he says, I'm going to drive them out before you. He says, this is how you'll know. It's how you know that God's given you the victory there because of what he's going to do for you today. You're going to make this transition. You made the transition out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the wilderness of sin, into the kingdom of light. And God says, that's the proof that everything you face is no different than the thing you faced when you came out of darkness. I've given you victory over that. I'll drive them out. I'll drive them out. And then you see that's the ministry of Jesus. He drove sickness out of people. He drove demons out of people. He drove ignorance out of people. And he gave them light and healing and wholeness. So, let's move on a little bit further. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. What's in front of you? What's in your face? I think it's kind of interesting that Joshua says, see. I mean, who could see? Who could see the Ark of the Covenant? If you've got four guys with poles and the Ark sitting on those four poles and they're carrying it and there's 3 million people and you're the back of the 3 million, could you think you could see the Ark? If you were journeying, no. But everybody knew what the Ark was like because all the tribes were camped around it when it was stopped. He said, I want you to see the Ark of the Covenant. Close your eyes right now. I want you to see the Ark of God's presence, the provisions of His Word, His mighty power right now in front of whatever it is you're facing. Whatever is going on in your life, that's where the Ark is parked. That's where the Ark is right now. And that Ark is not just an Old Testament idea. That's the might and the power of the name of Jesus, the presence of Almighty God. All the provisions of heaven are right there. Right there. Right there. That's why he said, see it. See it. Can you see it? The job I don't have. The promotion at work. The business that's struggling. I can see the Ark there. I can see that when the Ark went to the house of Obed-Edom and was parked in front of his house, that's where the Ark was. Everything in his entire life, his family, his finance, his health, everything was blessed. Because that's where the Ark was. Do you see the Ark in front of your new home? You see the Ark there? Do you see the Ark in the front room of your loved one who doesn't know Jesus? Doesn't know Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for divine visitation. Right now, across the globe. Thank you, Lord. There's divine visitation. All right. Let's carry on. See the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. The Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. You know, one of the things that Satan likes to remind me of whenever I face some daunting set of circumstances, he likes to try to put something into my mind that Coral referred to as fear, like you're all alone. and you just have your own human capabilities. You don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have the other. And if you're not careful, you can end up taking all those messages and allowing them to frame your perspective rather than seeing the Ark. He's ahead of you. He knows everything that you face. Everything that you face. Verse 12 says, now then choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe. As soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, there he is again, a Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan. The priests set foot in the Jordan. What does that tell us? That tells us that life is a continual movement. It's a continual movement. It's a journey. And it has to be not just getting through the days. It's got to be engaging. They had to go down to the Jordan River. And then he says they have to set their feet in the Jordan. Now let's just skip ahead a little bit. Verse 14, when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage. Everybody say flood stage. If there's ever a time you need God, you need him all the time. But if there's ever a time you really need him, it's when it's flood stage. When it's flood stage. And I'm sure everybody here has had some encounters with the flood stage. But you know, you have to look at your life journey and say, this isn't accidental. It's not because I've just been a terrible, wicked person. I'm the only one on the planet who's ever faced the flood, who's ever faced overwhelming circumstances of this kind. No. You're on the journey. The Bible says the steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered by the Lord. So God knew you were headed for the flood stage. What will you do? What will you do? Why didn't God just make it easy for them? Why didn't God just say, okay, just wait until the flood season is over and the Jordan River is traversable because you can get across it without facing water that's higher than waist deep? Why didn't God do that? Why didn't he just kind of supernaturally catapult them over the river and put them on the other side? Because God is more interested in what goes on in here. He's processing you and I and us together so that we will live in a kind of partnership that reveals the supernatural God that we serve, because we have a supernaturally produced character and we have a supernaturally produced lifestyle and we have supernatural blessings, and the world who's looking for God says, oh, I found him. It's in my neighbor. It's in my neighbor. My neighbor who wore a wedding dress when it wasn't her wedding. I found him. I found him. Says they set their feet at flood stage. Now it's interesting, it says that the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Now I'm not going to come back, I'm going to talk about that, but not today. Flood stage and harvest. Flood stage and harvest are two concepts connected throughout the Bible. Very significantly in the last days. Flood stage and harvest. Well, this morning we're just concerned about getting across the Jordan during flood stage. So if you don't capture anything else from this series, but capture what I'm about to say to you, I pray you capture it. Whenever you face some set of circumstances that you might call the flood stage for you, maybe it's easily traversable for somebody else, but not for you. Take instruction from the manual. God knew you were headed for the flood. He knew you were headed for the flood. And he's the same God that brought you out of Egypt and out of the wilderness. You know, that's one of the reasons why we finish the year with a testimony service. Because as we come and everybody has a testimony to give, we're really saying, this is the God we serve. I'm not just in this because I made a confession of faith and this is my religious practice. No, this is the God I serve. And that's so important to say, all right, God knew I was headed here. He's pre-planned my success in this set of circumstances. And I can wear my brain cells out, or I can listen and obey. I can hear and obey. And whatever little inkling of a thought that's the beginning of a notion that maybe God is trying to say something or wants me to do something, I'm going to put one foot forward. Stick out your tongue. Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. Stick out your tongue. What was going on in that woman's head? In a nanosecond, she could have said, this woman is so stupid. She's asking me to stick my tongue. I don't even have a tongue to stick out. What's she saying? When God speaks to you, it doesn't have to make sense to this. Just like it doesn't make sense to say to a woman who has no tongue, stick out your tongue. But when she agreed with heaven and just said, I will stick out my tongue, out it came. She encountered the miracle that God had provided from before time. He had a tongue for her. He had a tongue for her. He had a tongue for her. Says, this belongs to this woman. This tongue belongs to her. All I've got to get her to do is obey. When she obeys, she kicks her will in and begins to do what's impossible, what she can't do, what she's never done before. When she just takes some little notion, okay, I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to stick out whatever comes out. Oh, she got a tongue. A tongue. I want to say to you today, God has a tongue prepared for you. He has a tongue prepared for me. He has a tongue prepared for this house. If there's any significance to your journey right now, God's given you a message today that He has a miracle, a pre-planned miracle, a pre-planned tongue for you. As soon as you hear from heaven and just take some simple step of obedience. He says, when you set your foot, logically you'd say, the river's flowing by. I'm not putting my foot in that. Have you ever crossed a river? I've crossed a few rivers. Never in flood stage. But I've crossed a few rivers without a boat. And I know when you get into the middle of the river, if the current is swift, there is no staying up. I know. I've ended up well downstream. Well downstream. But God says, when you put your foot in the river, you have to take a first step. A first step. Oh, I'll just wait till all the water goes by. All your hair will come out or turn gray or green or whatever. No. Don't try to wait it out. Listen, say, okay, Dad, what do you got to say to me now? What have you got to say? This is miracle time. Miracle time. When you set your foot. And this was an awesome miracle. You know what the Bible says? It says the water's piled up. Find that in a science textbook. I've heard of pileups, cars. But water piling up? How does water pile up? Has anybody ever had a water pile up at your house? Water tends to seek the lowest place so it can continue to flow. But this water piled up. Why did it pile up? Because God wanted every parent and every child that watched the water pile up when they crossed the Jordan to remember that day every day of their life. I'm not walking this journey alone. I'm walking with God who can make water pile up. Stand to your feet. You know, I believe these are days of sacred moments in our journey with Christ. It's following the ark of God's presence. And I'd like you just to, for a moment, assess kind of where you are right now. You're in the service today and you say, Pastor, it's definitely flood stage for me. I'm stuck. I got circumstances I can't figure. I can't make happen. I got promises. It's flood stage for me. And as I stand in front of the flood, I want to see the ark. I want to see the ark. If that's you in the service today, I want to pray for you today. I believe that this moment was designed by God to release something in your life forever. You can pass it by very easily. Or you can say, I want to learn about how to deal with the flood. And the flood can be all different kinds of things. Whatever it is, I don't have to know. I know some, but I don't know all. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I'm definitely up for seeing the ark as I face the flood. Step out of your seat and come here. What Israel needed as they faced the flood, they needed a word from heaven. It wasn't a paragraph. It wasn't a whole book of the Bible. All they needed was stick out your tongue. All they needed was put your foot in the river. Put your foot in the river. I have endured hardships in my journey unnecessarily, I believe, because I did not grasp what I'm telling you today. And I believe as surely as you're standing here, God says, I got a pilot plan for you. I got a tongue plan for you. I have a crossing plan for you. Right as you face the flood. So close your eyes and open your heart right now. Because I'm going to ask the Father who loves you and who brought you out to take you in, who gave you access so he could give you victory at every single place in your journey. Every single place. I'm going to ask him to give you exactly what he gave Israel when they faced the flood. A simple word from heaven. A simple word from heaven. I'm going to pray and ask him, and I believe he's going to answer. I believe that with all my heart. He's going to answer. He's going to give you some simple instruction that'll open the Jordan for you. Open the Jordan for you. Yeah, you'll have to get close to the ark to hear. Get close to the ark to hear. But if you'll get close to the ark to hear, he's not a God who will lie. He's a faithful God. Father, as we stand in these moments, Lord, you know every single one of us. Do you know? As the psalmist said, you know the way that I take. You know my journey. You saved me and brought me out so that you could take me in to fullness, to blessing, to victory, to provision. You pre-planned it. This moment today. And as we stand today like Israel did, at the Jordan, at the time of flood, I ask you, Father, to speak that word into the heart of every person here. That simple little instruction, stick out your tongue. That simple little instruction, put your foot in the water. Step into the flood. Whatever that simple little instruction is, Lord, thank you. It unlocks all of heaven into our lives. Thank you, Lord, for answering this prayer that every member of this house will carry in their life journey. A God who answers at every time there's a flood. Every time there's a flood. Every time. I thank you, Lord, for all the amazing miracles that are about to happen. Because we put our foot, we open our mouth. Simply obey the word from heaven that we hear. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hug 9 people before you leave today.